Okay, Christ.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday School class, discussion class here at Wayne's Christian Fellowship. This morning, we're going to start something new. We're going to start with Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 1, chapter 1. And it's about the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. We're going to read the first 17 verses, and then we'll have some discussion. So, would you like to go ahead and read? Mm-hmm. And why don't you read to about 8 or 9, and then will you read?
Yeah.
Okay.
The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Jacob. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat begot Jorman, and Jorman begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaziah, and Asa begot Hezekiah.
Okay.
Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, the father of Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, the father of Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, the father of Abiad, the father of Eliakim, the father of Azar, the father of Zadok, the father of Akim, the father of Eliad, the father of Eleazar, the father of Madden, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot more in there than we
need. Good job, guys.
Yeah, you guys are really good
at
saying those names.
And
I know who I'm going to have come and pronounce all my words.
It's funny how we got switched to different translation, because seems like she was reading in New King James, and he was reading in different, because it says the father. But this is a begotten.
What do you have there? What?
That's a King James.
This is King James.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Oh, is that the King James?
It's New International.
Oh, it's New
International. New International.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good, that's good.
Well, there's really a lot in there that we can talk about.
That's right.
A lot, which is very strange, because when I was thinking that we were going into Timothy, I was reading to kind of give myself some background information on the book of Timothy. And one of the things it says is, get into the reality of what is important to your faith. Don't go around just reading useless genealogies all the time. So what do? We go to Matthew, and what's the first thing we get? A genealogy. But this is really a very interesting genealogy. So, anybody have anything they want to start on?
Yeah, one thing I kind of like catches my attention in this genealogy is Jesus has some kind of like genealogy sometimes from people who were not expected to kind of like be in genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say like Tamar, she kind of like slept with her father-in-law by kind of like, yeah, and the Rahab,
mm-hmm.
She wasn't maybe the righteous person at the beginning, but she changed, and through her came one of the genealogy of Jesus.
Yes.
And Ruth, the Moabitess, she wasn't an Israelite, but through her
mm-hmm.
came the great-grandfather or grandfather of David.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like you said, God doesn't look as we human look. We just want to be in like maybe the perfect generation, have like perfect family and everything, like we want it to be straight, but God doesn't really care about all those things. He just kind of like have his plan through some people, and just that's just how he works. He doesn't like work as we do, like we just want to be perfect or push everybody aside, we are the perfect, or but it surprises me to see Jesus with the Israelites, the Jewish have women's, but he chose to come out of some of strange women, like from other nation. You know, he could have been like 100% from a Jewish father and a mother all the way, but sometimes he just kind of like chose in all the Israelites to come out of Ruth, who was from Moab, or in all the Israelites to come out of Rahab, or maybe some other people we think maybe, oh, those are not perfect people, not good family or something, or whatever, because we always judge according to our own standard,
exactly.
Like
yeah.
What we think is right, that's how we judge.
Yeah, and you know, that's, I think that in that you see that God does not want us boasting.
Well, we landed on the Mayflower, and my parents, you know, we were all hotsy-totsy
right.
people, you know, the finest to this.
Exactly.
And that. Because somewhere back in everybody's genealogy, you're going to find. As a matter of fact, I was looking up some of my mother's genealogy, and it's hard to find Irish genealogy because all the men are named John Brady, you know? Not all, but all the ones in my background were. There were a lot of them. There was John Brady, and then there was Jack Brady, and there was James Brady. And anyway, in noticing who came over on the boat, my grandmother's mother had the same name as my grandmother. In other words, they were both Flaherty. So if you're two women, and one is the mother and one is the daughter, somebody should have a married name, and somebody should have a single name, you know? Because the daughter is still single, and the mother should have been married, you know? So strangely enough, I kept saying, why do they both have the same name, you know? But those things happen, you know? I don't know. I'm not sure, and I couldn't look back and see, you know. But those things happen, and I don't think that God wants us to boast about that. We can boast in nothing except the Lord and Him crucified.
Exactly.
You know, not anything that we have done. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He alone
is the way. And I, in the way is the generations also. That's the way from way back there to way forward, you know? Interesting. I think there's a lot of, as we go through these things, there's a lot of nice stories that pop into our minds. You know, the love story about Boaz and Ruth. And then Obed, he begot Jesse. And the ride of Jesse, you know, Jesse begat David. And what a story of David, you know. And then David's son was Solomon. You know, they're all of those stories from our shared background, you know, gives us those great stories of faith. You can read so many of them even in the book of the Hebrews, you know.
Okay, Kathy.
Yeah.
If you look at the names and you get down to the last name, and it was Joseph. Joseph was mm-hmm. not Jesus's father.
That's right.
God was.
Yes. That's right.
But you got to realize Mary was also from the house of David.
That's right.
She was mm-hmm. from that same lineage. Mm-hmm. So, and they never hardly ever listed a woman in the genealogies in an important position, you know. Mm-hmm. They'd always list the men back there. And then one other thing, if you count up the generations, there are 14, 14, and 14.
Right.
It's 42.
That's right.
Okay. If you actually count them, there's only 41.
I heard that.
And the reason being is, and there's a portion of scripture, and I didn't know we were going to get into this, so I can't tell you exactly where it's at. But we'll look it up later on. But there in the scriptures, it's talking about Jesus in the Old Testament, and it says that he was cut off without seed. But there's another portion of scripture that says, and there shall be a seed accounted unto him as a generation. That's us. We are the 42nd generation, the Christians. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, people say there's a lot of mistakes in the Bible. There really isn't. If the Spirit reveals to you, there's no mistakes in there. You have to alone know the history, and you got to study. That's why it says study to show yourself approved, because, you know, there's a lot of things in there, a lot of secrets in there that just don't pop right off the surface, and you have to ask God. But anyway, it counts up to 42 in that generations, 14, 14, 14. And, you know, there was only 41 if you actually count them, you know. And we are that 42nd generation. So there isn't really a mistake there.
Psalm 22.
We just aren't listed.
That's Psalm 22.
Is it?
A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
There you go.
I also would like to add that in Luke, you find some other generation. This comes from Mary all the way to Adam, and from Jesus, I should say. From Jesus all the way to Adam. Mm. And when you follow that, it does not come out of Solomon from David. It comes out of Nathan. Mm-hmm. The Solomon's brother. The one we read, it comes out of Solomon to mm-hmm. Joseph, which is a little bit strange. Like, it comes out two different sons of David. One we come out of Solomon to Joseph, and the other we come out of Nathan to Jesus.
Was Nathan Solomon's brother?
He was.
Okay. Who was Jonathan, Solomon's son?
Jonathan was actually Saul's son.
Saul's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Saul's son.
I love the way it spoke about Joseph, where it tells all about all the men, because the genealogy goes down through the men in Matthew, and it says... you know, and this one to get that one, and this one to get that one. But Joseph was married to Mary, out of whom Jesus came.
Right.
So I think they were acknowledging
yeah.
that there is no, the only father of Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus was his only begotten son.
Right, and the one in Luke, he actually goes up from down to up to Adam. But this one goes from Abraham to
mm-hmm.
all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange, totally strange.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason that it goes from Abraham
mm-hmm.
is because Abraham was considered to be the father of faith.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was considered to be the father of faith, he was who God gave the promise that his seed would be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we finding out nowadays with all this new telescopes they've got? There's an unlimited amount of stars. I mean, it ain't just thousands of them and millions of them. It's just
they haven't found all of them.
They haven't even found them all. So that tells you, that, wow, what a promise God was giving them, you know.
But in, I was seeing that in Christ, we're of a new generation, you know, genealogy in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more so than what we have in the natural
yeah.
of our parents. And the family that we're in, God placed us. He knew us before we were
formed. You talk about the natural, yeah.
He placed us
sure.
in that family. Some people say, oh, I wish I wasn't in this family. They look back at the genealogy and they look back at, and but you're where God put you. God placed
right.
you there. You know, I was, on a Mother's Day, I had written a poem about mothers. And when I went and studied back in the New Testament, only those kings, those ones that served God, did they name, they named his, their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
Not only the Jews.
They
do.
Yeah.
In that, because I was writing the poem, and I had
mm-hmm.
also scripture I was looking at. Because my aunt had asked me, she's passing out, to share at this mother's tea they were having, Mother's Day, and God gave me, you know, this poem. And then when I went in to read about the mothers of the Bible, and I saw that
mm-hmm.
those kings that served God,
mm-hmm.
they named their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Only the ones,
that's
the ones
right.
that did not, they did not name. They named their mothers, and you were seeing, I was seeing the importance of mothers.
That's right.
In, you know, where God has them, and you look at, was it Hannah, the mother of
Samuel?
Sam, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she prayed, looked, wanting
right.
a child, and promised that this child would be offered unto God. And when he was nursed, weaned, and of age, she took him to the, you know,
yeah.
to the
high priest.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was
to the
Eli. Was it Eli?
Yeah.
Yes. And took him there. And then God began to speak to him.
And you know what the name Samuel means? Heard from God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he was a great prophet.
I know.
Heard from
yes.
God.
Yeah. To the point that, somewhere in, I think Ezekiel, he says that even if Samuel was intercessing for Israel, that God wasn't gonna hear that intercession, which shows that Samuel was one of the greatest person
yeah.
to God. Yeah.
Well, if you remember the story about Samuel when he was just a boy, I don't think he was even a man, and. And God spoke to him, and he thought it was
Eli,
the high
oh,
priest.
Yeah,
so he ran and he said,
there.
You know, here am I, you know, what do you want? And he said, well, I didn't call for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back and laid back down, and God spoke to him again. And he ran into Eli again and said, you know, basically, here am I. And Eli said, I didn't call for you. He said, but if somebody calls for you again, say, here am I, Lord. You know, I believe is the way he put it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did, then he began to, that's when he began to really have
oh,
a
yes.
relationship with God,
uh-huh.
you know, in the
yes.
sense that God spoke to him and stuff. And he was a great prophet.
He was.
Samuel was a great prophet.
Yeah.
You know, now I look at how everybody's looking at wanting to know their ancestors and wanting to know and looking back. Mm-hmm. And in every family, there's going to be some that you're proud of, and like she was saying, you boast about. But everyone has those that you don't even want to be known. But I'm seeing that those things are not important, you know, because in the end, what is important is you and Christ, Him and you, right. And you a part of this body. You know, that's your family. That's your.
And if we realize that we really have a new identity in Christ,
we sure do.
That's right.
And our new family is our family.
Yes.
You know, it is the family of God. And, you know, the natural family, you know, we should still love them and all that. But
oh, yes,
the most important part is our spiritual family, you know.
Because we have a responsibility to minister unto our natural family,
yeah.
That they may come to
right.
know Christ.
That's right.
And that they may, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a responsibility we have.
Surely, over the years, the relationship changes. I remember now when I think about my father, I'm older now than my father ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about my mother, I can laugh. I sometimes think she comes and visits me and reminds me of things that went on, and we can laugh at it together as equals.
Right.
You know, like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? So, oh, I just don't know. But the relationship changes, and they become fellow creations.
Yeah. You know, Brother Wilson, I remember I was talking to Brother Wilson.
Which one? Jim or?
Not Jim. Yeah. Oh, the pastor.
Uh-huh.
Pastor, not Jim. Hi. Brother Eddie.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling him, because my dad and mom, they came down to Elmwood before, and they had prayed for my mom and dad. And then I knew there was a time, because I lived with him, I moved from California, and I got saved then when I had moved from California. And then I went back to California, and I moved back. And I began to see this change in my dad. Now, I know when I got saved, he was in, and I was going to the Church of God because they preached salvation. And but when I was 12, I went and got baptized at the Baptist church, because that's where our family went. And he said, well, you know, you're a Baptist. And I was trying to tell him, no, I'm not. I belong to Jesus and that, you know. But then they came and went to church. And for a while, after I got saved, my mother played the piano, played for the choir there, and I was in it. And even in youth choir, we were real young. But I said, I can't sit in here no more. You know, hearing, I want to hear truth and life. So then I was going there and plus become down here. But I said, I've seen a change in my dad, and I believe he's given his heart to the Lord, but he's not said anything to me about it. But when we talk or we, my dad is different. He was always caring, but well, he was, plus a lot of things I look back that he taught words, and that was so true, you know. And he said, well, Brenda, your dad is not going to come to you and tell you, well, you know, I've accepted Christ, and now I know him like you know him or what, because he should have been the one that had Christ and had presented him to you. So you can share of the blessing of him knowing Christ and respect his relationship. But he didn't have to come to you and tell you, oh, you know, now I know what you've been talking about. You know that. And it made it different to me, because I was going, I wonder why he didn't share with me and tell me, because I didn't see there's a difference in him, even in his speech, you know, mm-hmm. and his actions. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to look at him and appreciate his relationship with God, and just thank God for it, knowing that, well, he didn't have to come and tell me what had happened in his life. It's obvious. It was evident what had happened in his life.
You know, I was thinking about, you were talking about Brother Eddie. I was thinking about Audrey. His wife, you know, for you guys don't know Audrey, but Audrey's mother and father were like, they were like missionary evangelist mm-hmm. type people, you know. And but Audrey got saved before they did.
Mm-hmm. Sure
and
did.
I think her father was an alcoholic, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
At one
she
point
did. She shared.
And yeah, and and you know, so
was the man that her mom went on the missionary trips with her stepfather or her father?
I think it was her father.
Her father.
I believe it was her father. He got saved and he became a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the best I know, the reason I learned her testimony one time was because they were having David Halls come in on Wednesday nights. David Halls had a pretty deep word, you know, mm-hmm. pretty deep preaching word. And I was in shaving. And I do shave around his beard a little bit. Just trim it. But anyway, I was in shaving, and I just felt like the Lord said, you're going to speak tonight. And I thought, David Hall is going to speak. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, David Hall. And I told Margaret, I said, I don't know why. I said, I just feel like I'm going to be speaking tonight. Mm-hmm. I got to church, and Audrey was there, and she says, Oscar, she says, David Hall will be here tonight. And she says, and Brother Eddie's sick. He won't be here tonight. She says, you got it. And I thought, and I was pretty young Christian, and I'm thinking, oh. But I have to admit, it kind of aggravated me a little bit because I thought she didn't let me know ahead of time, that neither one was going to be there. But God really did.
Yes.
You know, but being a young Christian, I was kind of stupid acting. Anyway, I told her, I said, well, how about you getting up and speaking first, Audrey? And I throwed it on her for a minute.
Yeah,
and I said, I'll get up after you. and she said, well, I don't know what I'd share. I said, well, won't you share your testimony?
Yeah.
And that's how I got to hear her testimony, because I'd never, I'd been going to church there for maybe, maybe 4 or 5 years then.
And didn't you live up for a while near Fairborn?
Yeah, Fairborn is where
they were
from.
Were with Salvation Army.
Yeah, they did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
they did, yeah. I don't know the whole story there with them because, I heard her testimony that night and she talked about her father a little bit
mm-hmm.
and how that she got saved and then later on he got saved.
Yeah.
And, a lot of times people don't realize the influence that you have on people when, when you're saved, whether you're preaching to them or witnessing to them that much or not, your life starts witnessing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying that before that, people see the change,
Yeah.
Like your dad, he didn't have to tell you. You could see a change in him.
Sure was.
But.
Because he was a person, didn't take nothing off of him. He'd tell you, and all through school. And so they were a big family. So the older ones quit school to help support the family. And he only went maybe to the sixth or, eighth grade. But his brother stuttered, and they used to tease his. He fought. Oh, he was telling me all the fights he would have because he took up for he was his brother's keeper. In my family, I was the middle child, and my little brother and sister were my babies, and I was their keepers. The other two sisters were older than us in the middle.
Have you guys got anything you want to say? Want to ask a question or anything? Don't be shy. Because I know God speaks to you guys too. I know He does.
Yeah.
So, if you got anything you want to share, feel free.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I have anything to say.
Okay. I wanted to go back for a minute to the 42nd generation, because we're all talking about our families
mm-hmm.
and how the relationship kind of changes. All of the generations of believers, you might say since the New Testament, but really it's more of the believers. All of the generations of the believers are one generation.
Right.
We are the 42nd generation. And when you said that about that, I went back to that Psalm 22, and I think it's amazing, and it really does show that truth. It says, for the kingdom, this is Psalm 22, 28 through, I guess, the end.
All right.
For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. He. So if you're talking about Him, it'll be the Lord they're talking about. And they that be fat, they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. This is the 42nd generation that they are talking about. They that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust. So, you know, no matter what kind of a life you're having, if you're in this 42nd generation, shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. I think that's quite a statement there. We can't keep alive our own soul. Our souls have to be fed from the Spirit of God. You know, we don't have what it takes to feed our soul except dwelling and staying right in the knowledge of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. That's the only way to nourish our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Then it says, a seed shall serve. That's us. Mm-hmm. That all, every generation since Christ is a seed, and it is the seed of the body of Christ. A seed shall serve him. This one seed is going to serve the Lord. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come, all of the seed shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. That's amazing to me. They are coming right out and saying that this seed is going to come out and preach to the entire world the righteousness, his righteousness, unto a people that shall be born. You know, it's all right there, isn't it? The simplicity of the truth of God. If we can hear it. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I thought that was just amazing. You know, thank you, Oscar.
If anybody doesn't think that this 22nd Psalm is talking about Jesus, read the first verse.
Right.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's exactly what Jesus said on the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes on and it talks about him being like a worm and, you know,
Bruce,
and all this stuff
that.
Because, yeah, it's a good song to read in general, but it's talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen. And
prophetic word concerning him.
Yeah. Jesus recognized himself.
Oh, yeah.
By the time, from reading the Psalms, probably when he was a child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's being about a new family. I really like sometimes I'm saddened like how we just don't take to heart us being born again. You feel like, especially like us, well, like where I'm from, my background, Africans, they are so still tied to natural family so bad, and sometimes it causes a lot of problems, because if you are still tied on your family that is not a believer, you get pushed into what they do. Mm-hmm. Because you are still, everybody around you, everybody where they seem to be connected to their family, and so you'll be attempted to also be connected to your family to the point that the family will pretty much like the family behavior or beliefs or whatever, they will act on you because you are connecting yourself to them so much to the point maybe the Bible doesn't allow you to, because mm-hmm. everybody around you is very connected to their family, and you find that people kind of like have a problem maybe growing up in their faith because they still
really like mixed up with unbelievers' family in a whole a lot of things. But I was just thinking this morning, I don't know why it came into my mind, when Jesus told the people who came to tell him that his family was mm-hmm. outside looking for him, and he was like, who's my family?
Yeah, sure did.
My family right. are these who are hearing the word of God.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I wish that I myself and everybody else will really take in consideration how we were born again as
right.
new believers and look forward in our life, not maybe entangle in our family way of being or way, oh, this is the family traditional, we gotta do this or these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to respect them, but we cannot, again, try to act in a way so many of our family go because they, we know they don't believe in God, but we still have this problem of Christian people sometimes feeling like their family is the closest people to them than the believers,
mm-hmm.
which is a very sad thing. We should respect our family, but we should believe, we should feel connected more to our brothers in Christ than maybe feeling the opposite, that oh, my family is closer to me than everybody that I worship with.
Yeah.
It's a very sad thing, but I see a lot of those things in a traditional African family, and it causes a lot of problem if your family is involved in witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you are still tied to your family so much, you're gonna end up being pulled in those kinds of things, whether you like it or you don't like it, because those are spiritual things. They're very strong. You cannot just say, okay, I'm not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight with prayer,
yes.
with the word of God, others. You cannot just say, okay, I'm gonna connect it to my family and everything, but I won't be in witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work like that, because it's a very forceful thing. You have to be or on the side of God, or maybe or you can maybe pull into those things you don't even want in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wish that we can have this thing that Jesus wanted from us, to be born again, to have a new life. It's like when the baby is born, they just started a new life. They kind of like they were in a womb with the whatever, but now they are born, they kind of like started the whole like a new life.
Right.
I wish that we can understand that and hope for that every day, to be in our new family, as you first said, of believers, to be the generation of Jesus, to just have the heart to witness Jesus' gospel to our family, but not again to be entangled, as the King James say, into the family traditional way of doing.
You know, all families have some traditions.
Yeah.
And when you get saved, oh, I got saved, I'm trying to think who else around was. And it's more evident when they went to Cabrillo's at reunions and gatherings
right.
and all. And you felt out of place because
yeah.
you did not feel the same. And you knew, and they looked at me, because you're going to take a stand for Christ as you do
that's
what
right.
you deliver to them, and you see they look at you. I know my dad, when I went and prayed with him, in the hospital, and I went to see the man in his room, and he died, you know, around the same time, years later. And when I went to see him, he had told him, he said, your father said that you were fanatic. He looked at me, because when I was at the family gathering, you know, I couldn't go along with some of the things.
That's
and
right.
I
That's
had
right.
an aunt that believed in the witchcraft and that. There comes a time that you're going to have to take a stand. You cannot be on the fence, back and forth, and you're either going to serve God,
That's right.
you're going to love your family,
yes.
pray for them,
yes.
and the greater relationship is in with God.
Right.
He gives you the strength. He gives you the words to say to either any of your family members. And you, and there's traditions. I've read her family. Every family has some traditions, things that you've been brought up in.
Yes.
But you're going to have to admit you are no longer of that.
That's right.
And in the spirit. And when you talk about like witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
I have family members that. And there's times when she, I had to take a stand with
That's
her
right.
and
right.
that. And she believed this, and I know she worked some stuff, and I know there was things, because it's real. People don't believe it.
Exactly.
It,
it's
but
real.
But it is real.
Yeah.
I was in her house and felt an attack of that. And
right.
I was on the phone at the time talking to a minister, and he said, I'm going to pray with you right now, because it made me fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And he started praying with me, and I felt God just raise up in me.
Exactly.
He said, when you hang up, I'm going to be praying with you. You go throughout her entire home from the I went to every room, closet, all in the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's a spirit. You're not in the natural going to be able to have any
no.
strength or anything you can do.
No.
I went throughout her entire house. She was in the hospital at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, when she came home, she was talking about, wow, how's feel? She got saved not long after that.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And see, God, I thank God, God,
Amen.
That as we look to Him and trust Him, He gives you the words, the strength, that yeah, He does. I've been to end times seeing people get delivered. Oh, and in the natural, you cannot.
No.
And they know when what you're up. And I'm telling you, there comes a time you got to take that stand. Yes, you love your family. You desire your family
exactly.
to know Him and have what you have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's a walk in Him.
I think for me, in my family, I know I believe my grandparents are very good Christian people, but I know they didn't go to church very often. And I also know that when my dad converted to Catholicism, it was like, oh, the end of the world. They just went crazy on him, you know. And it was because the difference of, what do you want to call it, you know, the difference of theology and the difference of
the
different beliefs and. You know, like you were saying, if we're born again, we're born again as one. And, you know, and I think a lot in today's world, that's what's going on in the Christian church a lot, is the fact that the Baptists believe something, the Presbyterians believe something, the Methodists believe something, and if you're not in line with them, you're wrong.
It's judgment. We're not to judge.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, my opinion, this is just an opinion, is that one of the biggest lies is people who think that witchcraft is just messing around, it's just fun, mm-hmm. it's just a game.
Yeah.
There's no real power.
That's a real thing.
Well, you know what, we're so sophisticated now. We know that's not real. I believe that's real.
It is real.
And they'll let their children be
very
taught.
Very real.
You know, because there's some teachers.
Oh, and it's so hidden.
System.
It's so homogenized into the other teachings.
Down
that
the
you get it into your personality and into your subconscious before you realize that you know it.
Mm.
You have yielded yourself to this and accepted it. So there's a control.
There's always a very innocent doorway.
Yeah.
Wide is the way. It leads to destruction.
You know, here in the West, people usually go into maybe sorcery in these kinds of, like, maybe let's say magic and stuff, and kind of stuff like that.
Fortune tellers.
But in Africa, it's different. They have, like, what do you would probably read in a Bible in all days? Like, people working with literally like demons, spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And they might say some words toward you, and those words can affect you if you're not into prayer.
Yeah.
They can say, remember the what was the guy who wanted to curse the Israel when they Balaam.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that God didn't want him to curse the people of God? Because God knows that sometimes, for whatever reason, when people say bad thing towards you, it happens to you. Like, some people will, like, it's not everybody, but some people have some kind of curse thing in their tongues. When they say some bad word to you, you're literally gonna have to fight that spiritually in order that to not happen to you. And if you can't like fight that spiritually with the prayers, those things they say towards you might have an effect in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might have some kind of effect because they are in spiritual. They are in spiritual world. They're not just like somebody naturally cursing you or something. They are into demons world. They have put themselves in those kind of situation, and because they are there, they have some kind of power.
Well, there's power in your word. What
yeah.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, he was in the desert when come to him.
Yes.
What did he give him? The word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The word. God is showing
that
there is power.
You know, it's one of those things you could hear something two or three times, and it never affects you. But under the right circumstances, someone say something to you,
yeah.
You take it literally.
Right.
And then that's when you're.
You open yourself up to.
You've opened yourself up to what's going on.
That's right.
And you know what was? I know we're about out of time. One of the most interesting things that you said, Brenda, was you were talking on the phone with the minister, and you said that this fear came up. Anything like that, to me, it always is a trigger. Where is this fear coming from, and why am I in fear? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have fear.
She had practiced so much stuff and given unto herself in her home. That a mile walk in her house, I could feel she was a twisted heretic. And I took a stand against her one time. I was just a babe then. And she went out, and I was sitting under the dryer. Here came this force into, you know, these things are real. And I thought, I'm not looking up than this.
She gave the devil a foothold.
And I began to pray and left, but she was angry with me with the stand I had taken.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that this was, I was a little more in Christ then than I was in her house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually could hear approaching me, and I thought, I had a fear, and I was talking to the minister. And I said, Brother Johnny, you know, he said, oh no, we're taking a stand against that. And he began to pray right then, and when he did, what was approaching me, I felt like if I would have turned around, I'd have actually seen something. It stopped right now.
That's right.
And he began to pray, and I felt God just cover me and raise up in me. I know, he said, you go throughout her house in Jesus' name, and I'm feeling it right now. I'm even telling you this. And he said, I'm going to be agreeing with you in the spirit.
Yeah.
And the fear was gone. I went throughout, he said, every, from the back to the front, and did. And I just felt the whole atmosphere clear. It was when she came home, her at home, she felt, my goodness. And after she gave her heart to the Lord,
amen.
See, there was a deliverance.
It's very hard to explain those kinds of situations if you've never been exactly to them. But they are as real as we are here. It's another word. It's another
God
kind of
God is greater.
Yeah.
Praise
God is greater.
God
everything
is
greater.
He is in control. Everything.
Perfect.
Amen. Love that. Yeah, because they're nothing but tools in his hand. And we ever tell people, so, oh, the devil did this or the devil. No.
But
he has no more to do than what God has permitted him. He is nothing but a tool that God has created.
We'll go at it. In your own strength, you're going to get knocked down.
Yeah.
You can't, you know.
And remember.
In God must be
more.
Remember when Moses threw his rod, and he became snake. And the Egyptians were able to do that as well. But the power of God ended up swallowing them because God was greater than we. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Somebody pray.
Okay. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for this lesson here today. We know, Father, that even when fear tries to overtake us, your word declares perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
And you are that perfect love. You dwell inside of us, Father. And we just thank you, Father, that you've placed a hedge of protection about us and nothing can touch us. And we just thank you. And I ask you, Father, to just let your people begin to rise up in an authority. That when they come into situations, that they can take dominion over it in your name and by the Spirit of God. Because perfect love will cast out all fear. And most of these things revolve around fear. That's where the power comes, is the fear. And Father, I just thank you that you you ascended on high, you led captivity captive.
Yes,
and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.